Well, I think we're going to get into the book of Philippians this evening. And I want to read Philippians verses chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and focus on primarily verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to realize or appreciate where Paul was when he wrote this book, this letter. He was in Rome. He was in jail. And it had been a number of years since he was there and his time in jail. Almost 11 or 12 years. But in verse 13 of chapter 1, it says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The palace having to do with Caesar's palace, Caesar's court. Caesar's palace knew who Paul was. In Philippians 4:22, he confirms that. He says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So Paul was in Rome. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 28 and 9, he says, I send him therefore the more carefully, who he's talking about is Epaphroditus, who could very well be the pastor of the church at Philippi, because he brought a gift to Paul, and he got sick while he was in in Rome, and so the Lord spared him, and Paul's sending him back. And he says, I send him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. So he was writing in Rome. He was in the palace, under the guards. He was in Rome, and he was sending Epaphroditus to bring this letter back to those in Philippi. Now, he's writing to the saints. He says in verse 1, to all the saints. And the word saints here is an adjective describing those that are in Philippi. I mean, that's just a technicality. And that are abiding in Philippi. So he's writing to the saints, and I thought it would be profitable for us to consider the saints. Who are the saints? Many people think that all saved are saints, but I am not persuaded of that. The Lord Jesus in 1 Peter 1 says, be ye holy, or be ye a saint, for I'm a saint. And so therefore, but I don't think the word saint means to be set apart, to be separated. The Lord Paul told those in Corinth, if you will separate yourself from those that are not of the faith, I will be your God, I will be your Father, I'll be your Father, and you will be my sons and daughters. So God wants us to be separated. But to be a saint, I believe, has to do with the calling unto his kingdom and glory. Many are called, but few are chosen. So let's look at some of the areas where this will be confirmed. First of all, we have already looked at the fact that Stephanus, the house of Stephanus, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And it was because, I believe, they knew that God would not be unrighteous to forget that work. And it was a labor of, a labor of love in Hebrews 6:10, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I think, have ministered toward his name is a reference to the ministry of the kingdom message. His name is the Word of God, and the Word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom. and his name being the Word of God is found in Revelation 17:13. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, speaks about the eyes of your understanding. He had already was praying that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and deeper knowledge of Him in verse 17. But in verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in whom? In the saints. The saints are going to be part of the Lord's inheritance. They're going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And so, he's praying that they would have wisdom and the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the deeper knowledge of Him, and so that they could continue in the hope, because hope can be abandoned. You can abandon the hope. How do you abandon the hope? By making shipwreck of the faith. When you depart from the faith, you have departed from the hope. Because what does faith, what is the activity of faith? Activity of faith gives support and substance to hope. And if hope has no substance, you're not going to be exercising your hope of glory. And so, he wanted them to know the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory or honor of His inheritance in the saints. So we see that the saints are part of the inheritance of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, he says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to whom? His saints. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is the mysteries of the kingdom. And if it's been hid, it had to be made manifest. And to be made manifest means it needs to be revealed. And it is not revealed to all. He's revealing to the saints. And this was a message that was not made known to the sons of men. And it was revealed unto the saints. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I'm aware of a passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 11 where it says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and He is going to reward His servants, His saints, and His prophets, not apostles. So because of that, knowing that, the apostles were not included in that verse, I said, I'm going to check to see if there's any commentary on the word apostle in this verse, and there is. And it's in the Vatican manuscript that omits the word apostle. And the Vatican manuscript, as far as I'm concerned, is not an insignificant manuscript. It is a significant manuscript. Even though the Catholic Church may own the piece of paper, they didn't write it. But the point is this, that which was revealed was unto His saints and prophets by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's revealing that. Even some of the apostles had difficulty understanding what Paul was preaching, because Peter says, hey, I got a problem with, you know, I don't understand all the stuff Paul's saying. He says that in 2 Peter chapter 3. So, in fact, Peter struggled with going to Cornelius' house. You know, anyway, let's go on. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, he says, talking about in that day, and in that day is a reference to the day when the Lord is going to establish His kingdom. He says, when he shall come to be glorified in his, what? Saints. And to be astonished. I didn't put it in here, but the word admired is the word astonished. They're going to be looking at those people that are going to be with the Lord in honor that are called saints. And you know who these people are that are going to be astonished? It's the ones that believed. And that's all. They never went on to live by faith. Because it goes on and says here, to be astonished in all them that believe. And that word believe is in the aorist tense. All them that believed are going to wonder, wow, we never heard of them. None of those guys are on the radio or on TV. I just think the Lord is just going to just love it when He's going to reveal His faithful ones. And because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In that day, of course, is a reference when this is going to take place. Now, Jude 3, Jude is saying, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto whom? The saints. The saints are a unique group of people that have been called unto His kingdom and glory. And so we just need to make a distinction, I believe, there. And the saints are the ones that need to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith means to contend for what? The hope. Because what does faith do? What is the activity of faith? What is the purpose of faith? Faith gives substance or support to hope. And it gives a reason to bring forth evidence that we have a hope of glory. I don't hope that I'm saved. You know why I don't hope I'm saved? Because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that word believe is an aorist, active, indicative. You know what? There is no doubt about it. When it comes to faith, it's a noun. There is no indicative in a noun. You don't know, ever can you know, whether you have exercised quote-unquote faith. Because it's not a verb, there's no mood, and there's no voice. In other words, you cannot say that you did it. Because there's no active voice involved at all. Now, in Revelation 11:18, it says, the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. You know what? If one of the things that I thought about here is this. It's interesting that He included those that fear His name. Did you know if you don't fear the name of God, you're not ever going to be just. You're not going to obey. If you don't fear God, you will not do what He says to do. You will live like you want to. And so, you've got to learn the fear of the Lord. In fact, you have to choose the fear of the Lord. I tell the Lord in the morning, and when I'm praying, it says, you take pleasure in those who hope in your who fear you and hope in your mercy. And I say, Lord, I have chosen on purpose the fear of the Lord. And I am looking for the mercy of the Lord unto life for the age. That's found in Jude. Looking, present tense. I'm looking for His mercy. And that will lead to life in His coming kingdom. Now, this is a verse I was telling you about that we don't find the apostles in this verse. We find thy servants the prophets. And by the way, the word prophet, We associate prophets with Old Testament. You know what? A prophet in the New Testament is a teacher. Teachers. The gift of prophecy is the gift of teaching. And to the saints, and to those who feared thy name. Now, I think that's sufficient. We could look at a lot of other places that deal with the word saints. But I think that this helps us to appreciate the fact that saints have a unique position in the family of God, in the body of Christ. And so now I want to talk a little bit about the bishops and deacons. I think it's very unusual that Paul included them, where he did not include them, the bishops and the deacons, in any other letter to the churches. And I thought to myself, why in the world did Paul do that? Well, I'll just tell you this up front. Paul had problems with the elders and the deacons in other churches. They were all button heads with Paul. Paul said, you want me to come to your church in Corinth with a rod? You know what? He didn't have a problem with this church at Philippi. This church at Philippi was the church that he established when he got the Macedonian call. He went through Macedonia to Philippi, and that church loved him and supported him and was with him, and they were the ones who were giving money to him and helping him, where the other churches weren't. You only are the ones who... And he was saying this after he established that church about 11, 12 years ago. Well, let's just look at a few places that will affirm this. What a joy it is to have people that love you and that you can rejoice over. That every thought and every remind me, I rejoice with you. You're with me. We're on the same page. It's not hard to pray for people like that in a sense, okay? Now, in Acts chapter 20, we get a little insight in bishops. The word bishop is also translated elders, or it is elders, and it's translated bishops. Overseers. Bishops are translated overseers in Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Bishops. These are actually elders in the church. To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So what is a bishop's business? Is to teach the flock. He is a teacher of the flock. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we see that Paul, from Miletus, where he was, close to the coast, or on the coast, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So the elders came to Miletus, and Paul was addressing them, telling them that the Holy Spirit made them overseers, bishops. So elders and bishops are the same thing. Now, in being a teacher or a feeder of the flock, I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting whom? The saints, those that are pursuing the hope of the calling, who appreciate the glory of the inheritance of our Lord among them and in them. So, pastor teachers are perfecting the saints, and for the work of the ministry. The saints are to do the work of the ministry. Elders were appointed. I know when I came here, you all voted whether I should come or not. That's called democracy. When it comes to elders, there was no democracy. They appointed elders. And I'll tell you the reason why it can be a downfall if elders or pastor teachers are voted in with popular vote. Okay? I've got something I want to share with you on that, okay? Now let's just read in Titus chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. The word ordain can also be translated choose. Titus, you choose elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, bishops must be blameless. Bishops and elders are the same, okay? Some people want to make a distinction between a bishop being a big cheese and an elder being a little cheese. It's crazy what you read sometimes in commentaries. But anyway, a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre. This word given to wine means to be angry and a broiler and a striker under the influence of wine. Wine, alcohol, causes someone to act nuts. And you don't want somebody leading you that's influenced with alcohol and he cannot conduct himself in a decent manner. Now, in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says, when they had ordained or chose them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. This is pluperfect, meaning that they had established themselves in the faith a long time before this took place. In other words, these guys were not novices. You don't appoint a novice as an elder. You appoint somebody who has proven themselves as far as a teacher is concerned and who has been faithful. Now, here is the reason that I believe that elders should be appointed, not voted on. Now, many people will tell you that the word ordain is to vote by raising the hand. Okay? They'll say that. And I read that in Strong's and some other places. But it also carries the idea of pointing by the hand. Pointing by the hand. Okay? Now, And I am persuaded that it is appointing you, in other words, you and you and you, appointing those who are going to lead the church. Now here's the reason why. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He's talking to Timothy. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what? As an elder, you're going to have to put up with the flack that comes from rebuking people. As an elder, you're going to have to put up with the flack that comes from reproving and rebuking and exhorting. And you need a guy that's going to put up with that for a long time and not quit because somebody has said something bad about them and they don't like them. You know, that's just too bad. I've been reading in Jeremiah, and boy, they hated Jeremiah's guts. They wanted to kill him. But you know what? God says, they can't touch you. Because you're my man. And they didn't, you know. And they're all in Babylon in chains and dying and everything. And where is Jeremiah? He's in Anathoth, taking care of life. And they even gave him a little stipend to take care of himself while everybody is going into captivity. But anyway, let's go on. For the time will come when they, that is the church, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now how do they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? They vote them in. They vote them in. We don't want this guy over here because he's not going to teach us what we want to hear. But if you've got a faithful elder, a faithful bishop, and he appoints the right people under the leadership of God, of the Holy Spirit, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. Now, it can happen under Democratic or by voting, because they're going to heap to themselves by vote or crook or whatever, and they are going to turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what that means is this. If you have a faithful elder, those people are going to leave. That's all there is to it. And they left, Paul. All Asia has turned against me. That's what Paul said. Asia's gone. That is sad. All Asia has turned against me. Now, what about deacons? I kept saying the deacons are for widows and orphans. You know what? I was trying to find out why that was true, but I could not find the word deacon anywhere with widows and orphans. But the Lord finally helped me to see and associate a deacon with caring for widows and orphans. Today, in some churches, deacons rule the elders, when it should be the other way around. Now, let's go on. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples and said unto them, and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye will appoint over this business." And this business had to do with the feeding of the widows and the orphans, the Grecians, as well as the Jews. Now notice, he's talking to brethren. He's talking to brethren. Now he's saying to the brethren, now you choose. Look out. You inspect some men that can take care of the tables. Now, they had to have some standards, okay? In other words, they needed to be in much the same way as an elder, but they don't have the same responsibility as an elder, okay? Now, let's look here. And they are to wait on tables over this business. Serve tables, okay? In Luke chapter 17, verse 8, "And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink." You see the word serve? It's the office of a deacon. Deacon, this is dealing with the Lord when he comes in from the, invites those in from the field. This deacon is going to serve tables. So this is how the Lord showed me that the word deacon goes with serving tables. So I just wanted to share that with you, because I was struggling. Where did I get that thought? And by the way, Mary and Martha, you remember the story of Mary and Martha? And Mary chose the best thing. But you know what? Martha was a deaconess, because it says she did much service. And that word there is the same word as we found here in Luke 17. I didn't include it. I don't have enough paper. But anyway, and there were those who helped Paul. Paul in Romans says, you know, you helped Phoebe. She helped me. I don't know whether she served tables or not, but she helped him get the job done. Now, with bishops and deacons, and this is the reason why I was telling you at the beginning why I think Paul was writing to the bishops and the deacons. He included them in this with them. He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." How many years was that? From 52 to 64. That's a long time. They have been on the same page for about a dozen years. From the first day until now. Where was Paul? He was in jail. He was in Rome. That was a long time ago. Paul said in Philippians 3:18, He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even now, or even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, he wasn't talking about anybody in the church at Philippi. He was talking about other people that became enemies of the church or enemies of the cross. And Paul says, I preach the cross. Now, that's not the cross that Jesus Christ was crucified on. It was the cross that we need to bear if we're going to enter the kingdom. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, where Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know what? Demas, at one time, was a fellow soldier and a fellow laborer with Paul. He knew something. And he went to Thessalonica. Did Thessalonica have any problems? Yes, they did. Now, one of the problems they had was somebody was teaching that the resurrection had already passed and it was causing the faith of many to be overthrown. They weren't on the same page with Paul. And it may have been because of Demas going to Thessalonica. In Corinth, talking about coming with a big stick, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. Paul had a problem with the church at Corinth. I don't think the bishops and the deacons were with Paul. And then in Galatians, the church at Galatia, he had a problem with them. There were people there that were turning them against what Paul was teaching about the just shall live by faith. Oh no, you can't do that, only you got to keep the law, you know, on and on. Look what he says in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Galatians. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them, or that you might respond to them. What they were doing is that they were zealous about causing them to change their doctrine. In fact, Paul says, who has removed you so soon from the gospel that I preached? Well, he knew who they were, and so therefore he did not write unto the bishops and the deacons lovingly to those in Galatians. Now, even in Ephesus, and I will close with this, Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The Lord gave Paul some insight into what was going to happen to that church, and so he didn't include the bishops or the elders and the deacons in his letter to the Ephesians. And obviously there were problems there. Well, I think that we have gotten a good start. Paul is writing to the saints. He's writing to those that are called unto his kingdom and glory. And I hope that as an elder and as elders in our fellowship, that we'll stay on Paul's page. We'll stay on the Word of God. We will not depart from the faith. Once delivered to whom? The saints. Father, I just thank you for your word and for the fun that it is to study it and to grow and in it. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.